Ben, I'll be honest with you. Anytime you sweep a team, simply put, it's a good thing. It's not a hot take, but still. The minutiae matters less in wins, certainly. Doesn't mean we won't talk about all the things, but even more so in sweeps. And I dare say even more in sweeps of a division rival. Certainly the Red Sox are not making the playoffs, but given the way the Jays started the year against the Red Sox overall, it is great to see them bounce back with essentially six straight wins against the Red Sox to end the season, to really drive the nail into the coffin of one of your more disliked division rivals. And today, they do it in a very dramatic fashion. They grabbed a 3-2 win ahead of the final road trip of the season. And boy, it has got to feel so good for Matt Chapman. He was doing the walk-off on the field after he walked this game off. And he just the smile on his face just looked like something had been lifted off his shoulders, because that was the first hit since being activated off the IL earlier in the weekend. It's a doozy. That's got to feel really good.
Yeah, it absolutely has to. I mean, Matt Chapman is still one of the best doubles hitters in all of baseball. He's in the top 10 and for much of the season led the American League. But clearly he had been going through it for a while. I think you probably get a little weight off your shoulders with the early double that really contributes to the first run of the game. I mean, Matt Chapman puts Kevin Biggio on third to allow Kevin Kiermaier to hit the sacrifice fly, and then he comes up once again. Really good base running by Biggio as well. We'll get into some of that. But hey, who said you need to hit that much to win? You know, you just keep teams to one or two runs on a daily basis, and it seemed to work out for the Blue Jays. A sweep in the opposite fashion to how they swept the Red Sox at Fenway when they actually did score a ton of runs. But a really great three games of pitching for Toronto overall, and that carried into today, absolutely. And we said it before the game on the 590 pregame show. I mean, it doesn't really matter how you do it at this point. Like, it is far too late in the year for trends and little things to really matter. What matters is if you win or if you lose. And they won, pretty or not.
That is Ben Shulman. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network, streaming live on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Taking your calls and texts, phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cellular device, 590-590, name and location please. That is where you can text us. It's the people's text line, and it is always open. Yeah, Matt Chapman, it's been quite the year for Chappie, eh, Ben? Like, he won the Player of the Month in, I guess, March/April, because there was one game in March, but he won the Player of the Month after being one of the hottest hitters, if not the hottest hitter in all of baseball, for essentially an entire month of the calendar year. And then he came back down to earth a little bit, and even before the injuries, which was caused by him pinching his finger on the dumbbell when he was lifting weights, or putting the weight back in the rack. That was relatively recent. But even before that, he had been really struggling. So it's just, I really do hope it's something he can build on, right? Because ultimately, whether or not he is a Blue Jay in 2024, for the rest of this year, and we saw it, and again, I've said this before, but we've seen it a number of times when he's not in the lineup. Sometimes the defensive stuff at third base, the plays that aren't made, do remind you of what you sometimes miss out on for Chapman, and it's a bit of a give and take, because offensively he has not been super successful this year. So it's honestly really, really great to see him get that, because I think in a lot of cases that can spark something for you to get you on a bit of a roll here, right? So we kind of had that same conversation about Whit Merrifield and what was essentially a swinging bunt to end the game in the 13th inning yesterday. It could be the same thing for Chapman today.
Yeah, and frankly, it's a much more emphatic offensive day today from Chapman. I mean, he ends the day 2-for-4 with two doubles. Any hitter will take that result pretty much any single day. And yeah, I think they do really, you know, need to hope that this brings a little bit more offense out of Chapman going forward. He's a guy that's been to the playoffs multiple times with multiple teams, being Oakland and the Blue Jays last year. And it obviously is forgotten in the catastrophe that was the Blue Jays' swift exit last season against the Seattle Mariners. But Chapman actually hit really well in the playoffs in those two games. He ended up going 3-for-7 with a double and had a walk and drove in a run on a sac fly as well. So they do really want him working. I mean, clearly he's not going to hit I think, five for this team or in that sure. spot where it looked like he might at the beginning of the season. I think even coming into the year, it would have been conceivable that he could have hit in a spot around cleanup. But at this point, the lineup is going to feel a whole lot deeper if you have Matt Chapman just contributing on a semi-regular basis in and around that 6-7 spot in the lineup. And he is a guy that takes big swings, and when he connects, you know, does a lot of damage. And the Blue Jays have been lacking power hitting for a lot of this season. So it is huge to have Chapman contribute today. And obviously, you know, he becomes the most important offensive player in this game with the two doubles to help them win.
Bobby J. in Claremont on the text line, 590-590, name and location. That's the people's text line. Bobby says, Chappie says, no pinch hit today. We'll take the check swing luck and capitalize on the good fortune. That is what good teams do. Maybe, just maybe, we are getting hot. Let's go Blue Jays. And, you know, as we continue the Chapman discussion, I did want to hear what he had to say on the field because, like I said, he looked so relieved. Happy, but also relieved. And I can't imagine any player in that situation would not feel that way. Here's Matt Chapman down on the field after he walked off this one for a 3-2 win.
Matt, you got deep into that plate appearance. You usually do, regularly among the league leaders in pitches per plate appearance. How does your thought process evolve as you see more pitches?
As I saw more fastballs, you know, I started getting more comfortable, started getting my timing, and then, you know, I was able to lay off that changeup and was just ready to hit that last fastball.
It's been a challenging 6 weeks for you. You've battled injury, haven't seen the results you'd like to. How meaningful is it for you to come up with this swing?
Yeah, it means a lot, you know. I got to put that stuff behind me, and all I really want to do is help this team make the playoffs.
I'm going to step aside. Certainly an up-and-down homestand, but you ended on a high. How do you carry this momentum out on the road?
You know, I think, you know, being able to bounce back after we got swept and to be able to come back and win three games in a row is huge for us, and especially under these circumstances. We're fighting till the very end, and, you know, I wouldn't expect anything less, but I think we're going to go on the road and keep it rolling.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
I really think it is huge to think about, like you had said before we got into that clip show, how Matt Chapman's day ended yesterday. Mm-hmm. He was pinch hit for an all-star, a guy who's really, you know, supposed to hit in the middle of orders with big production for Kevin Biggio, who obviously has been hitting really well, hit really well again today. But that's a thing that doesn't really happen to Matt Chapman often in his career, being pinch hit for a guy who's not a regular starter. And to come back today and be able to respond like he did today, I think it's just huge. It was, you know, all over Sportsnet TV was watching him getting taken out of that game. John yeah. Schneider talking to him. He clearly was not happy, as happy as he was for the team to win. You know, everyone wants to be in that position when they are one of the star players to be able to do it. They don't want the team to think that they need to succeed with you out of that lineup, and that's what makes them best. So for Chapman to get in there today and do what he did, it's really huge for him. It's really huge for the Blue Jays, and we'll see what it means going forward.
Russ in Toronto says it's a Rosh Hashanah miracle, which I appreciate. Thank you. Thank you, Russ. Simon in Shelburne says, nice to see Chapman come through with his replacement on base. Go Jays go. I see one. Where was it? It was another one here. Robert in Whitby, he has something on Ryu, which we'll get to in a little bit, but he also says very happy for Chapman, who had become the punching bag for the fans lately, to have his moment. Fabio from Guelph, what a roller coaster of a season. I'm going to be sick. And I like this text from Amanda in Hamilton. Amanda says, such a nail-biting series. I wish we had a game tomorrow, because it feels like whenever we get hot, we have a day off. Also, I went from wanting to throw a brick through my TV to yelling, we're going all the way at that same TV. I think I need a BP cuff for the next 2 weeks. Oh, blood pressure cuff. When I say BP, I always say batting practice.
Yeah, it's like a batting practice cuff.
Yeah, but blood pressure cuff makes sense. But Amanda, and it's like a face palm emoji, I guess, and Amanda's text. But I think a lot of people feel that way. It's exhilarating when you win, and it is heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching when you lose. But luckily for the Blue Jays, they did not experience that. Maybe not as many runs as you would have liked, certainly. Maybe some of the approaches could be better, sure. But at the end of the day, they sweep away the Red Sox to end the season on a six-game winning streak against the Red Sox, which is given how the season started against the Red Sox, that miserable road trip to Fenway, and it was rainy, and other trips against the Canada Day long weekend series when you and I were here at the Rogers Center,
Alex
they lose
Verdugo
that series.
Threw out Bo at the plate on Canada Day.
Awful. Like, it just there were so many results against the Red Sox where you kind of shake your head. So it is truly nice to see them go out and just blast the division rival. And after Devers really felt like he stole the momentum completely, they were down to, I think they were down to their last strike, not just their last
biter. It was a 2-2 pitch,
right? They're down to their last strike. Devers clobbers one on, frankly, a pitch that I didn't even think was that bad for Aaron Swanson. Right, a ball right at the top of the zone, and Devers goes opposite field to hit that ball out, and you kind of feel like, oh, the Red Sox have stolen the momentum after you thought the Blue Jays wouldn't have to bat in the bottom of the ninth, and then Chapman does that. And some great running from Kevin Biggio, which you mentioned earlier. It's definitely the best kind of positive after you get swept by the Rangers, because you kind of felt like a really big missed opportunity, and they did not miss those opportunities in this series.
Yeah, and I don't mean to spoil what will be coming up in our Bet365 standings watch, but you do it while the Rangers get swept. And for everything but the tiebreaker that you've given away, you really made up a lot of the huge blunders that you let go throughout the week when you lost all four games to the Rangers. So, you know, the Blue Jays, I still don't think entirely save face from that Rangers series, but they get as close to it as you can, and now you get to rest up a little bit before you go and face what's going to be, you know, a pretty depleted Yankees team in the Bronx, a Yankees team that's playing all right, that actually isn't totally out of it mathematically, but at the same time is not nearly even the team that the Blue Jays faced way back in May, I think it was, the last time that the Blue Jays squared off with the New York Yankees. So it's a huge way to turn it around. The Texas series could have buried the Blue Jays season.
Yeah.
And doing this, like you said, they didn't score that much, but they kept the Boston Red Sox, who are a pretty formidable offensive team, to 5 runs in an entire series after giving up, I believe, 35 runs in the series before that. And they have all that positive momentum going into the day off in the Big Apple.
At the very least, now that the Guardians have swept away the Rangers, and like you said, we'll talk about this more on the other side of the break, real quick before we go to the phone calls, it's just kind of funny to think that after all the kind of angst, and you and I did our fair share of angsting over the Guardians rookie pitchers who really set the Blue Jays down in, what, like 3 consecutive games? A lot of, like, Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams and a lot of these guys. They go out and do the same thing to the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you take some of the good with the bad with some of these non-AL East teams here.
Yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays lost the series to the Guardians, but they didn't get swept at the same time.
That's
you know,
true.
And this one was in Cleveland, but yeah, for the Rangers, I mean, I you know, that's got to be a real interesting Rangers talk going on after that game, or for whatever happens there. And there's been the fair share of real interesting Blue Jays talks as well, but for the Blue Jays, they pull off what is a perfect weekend at the end of the day, even though they weren't pretty. Again, at this point, it really doesn't matter how you win, it just matters if you win. They sweep the Boston Red Sox. They at least make their record against the division a little bit more redeemable. It's not great, but they did send the Boston Red Sox to a below 500 record against the American League East now, for whatever that's worth. But it's as strong of a weekend as you can ask for the Blue Jays, and huge to get it from some unconventional spots. Obviously conventional in Vladdy the past 2 days,
yes,
but you get some Whit Merrifield, some Kevin Biggio, some Matt Chapman mixed in there. It's refreshing, I think, for the Blue Jays to get at least. They're not getting up and down production from the lineup because they're barely picking up hits in these games. But the guys who are hitting don't seem to be the traditional guys who are hitting. And maybe that helps out the Blue Jays if they can get some of the top 4 guys going a little bit more.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cellular device. Shane in Mississauga getting us started here on Jays Talk. Shane, what's on your mind?
Hey, boys. Glad to hear from you again. I need you to talk me off the ledge, though. After the Texas series, and again, take this as I bleed Blue Jay blue, I really don't think we deserve to make the playoffs after that. And then watching the couple of shaky wins we just had against Boston, knowing how the Yankees generally own us, but they're not doing so well this year, but playing a little bit better as of late, and Tampa Bay just being Tampa Bay, I'm still kind of nervous about this last 2 weeks. So it can't just be the pitching staff. We can't win games nothing. We have to score runs, even with the amazing pitching that we've had this year. What do we have to look forward to other than, you know, Biggio getting back on and Chapman finally getting a hit? Like, I want to hear from you guys. I'm going to hang up and listen. I just want to know how you guys feel about this next two-week stretch.
Sure, Shane, thanks for the call. Thanks for joining us on Jays Talk. I think it's a valid question, because at least because the offense has not shown up consistently for much of the year. But, I mean, I don't know. You're also taking on – I know he said the Yankees have played the Blue Jays pretty closely, and I have no doubt that is going to continue to be the case, even if the Yankees are not a very good baseball team. I mean, they're struggling to score runs against the Pittsburgh Pirates today, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, there was a text on the text line that kind of echoed Shane's thoughts there. Here it is. Julian in Toronto, very exciting that they won again. It's kind of on the same lines. But honestly, they stand no chance of beating Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Houston division series. Really, isn't it better for there to be an epic collapse that results in Schneider being fired?
Oh, that's maybe, a very opinionated thing as a success.
Maybe even Atkins Shapiro. Wouldn't that be a better outcome for next season than some futile doom postseason effort? I've said this a million times about the playoffs specifically, but I'll say it again. You play 162 games for the chance to roll the dice, essentially, in the playoffs. They're is it unlikely that in a 5 or 7 game series the Jays probably might not beat the Orioles? I guess. I suppose. But at the same time, I don't know. Anything can happen in
it's
the playoffs.
It's outrageously random.
I truly don't think people realize how much literal random chance affects any given team winning on any given night, specifically in the playoffs. Like, yes, trends emerge in the regular season that can be certainly positive or certainly very negative, and I think we've all identified the positive ones of the Blue Jays in pitching and defense, and then certainly some of the negative ones, at least when it comes to offense. But boy, I don't get the negativity about wanting the Jays to miss the playoffs because it will result in people getting fired. I think because anything can happen in the playoffs, I really do think that you want to just put your best foot forward as much as you humanly possibly can. And to Shane's question, at least on the coming road trip, yeah, it's going to be hard. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be difficult. You're playing the two teams left in your division that you basically haven't played a lot this year, but at the same time, you did have a pretty good showing against the Rays. The Rays are not as good now, certainly, as they were at the beginning of the year, and I would say the same thing for the Yankees.
Like, absolutely.
I'm not even sure who's pitching for the Yankees. I saw Frankie Montas went on a rehab assignment recently. I don't know if he's going to pitch at some point against the Jays, between whether it's in New York or in Toronto. It's just the Yankees and the Rays are not the same team they were at the beginning of the year, and while I am by no means saying it will be easy, Ben, I also feel like we have seen enough from the good parts of the team, the best parts of the team in the pitching and defense, to think that they are capable of driving the bus in these wins. They might be low-scoring games. You probably will see a lot of 3-2, 2-1 wins for the Blue Jays between now and the end of the regular season, but they still might be wins.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. Like, we still don't know what's going to happen. By the way, Ben Nicholson-Smith did tweet out the probables. So Tuesday, Yusei Kikuchi versus Clark Schmidt. Wednesday, Kevin Gausman versus Michael King. Thursday, Jose Berríos against Gerrit Cole. I mean, Clark Schmidt and Michael King not necessarily intended to be part of this team's rotation going into the season. And one thing, like, the Blue Jays offense, certainly not that great. The Yankees offense, even worse. Like, they score fewer runs than the Blue Jays do. So that is certainly as much, if not more, of an issue for the Yankees than it is for the Blue Jays. And
yep.
I think if there are things that you want to look for that because, again, Shane was kind of asking, like, what should give me confidence potentially? I mean, Anthony Rizzo is not there. Jason Dominguez is not there. Frankly, Billy McKinney ended up being one of their better hitters at one point this season.
Yeah.
He is not there. Like, you are going to see some Esteban Florial, some Austin Wells, a good amount of Oswald Peraza and Oswaldo Cabrera. And if you don't know who some of those guys are, all of those guys, they probably haven't showed up on your highlight package that much. Like, there is not that much thump outside of Aaron Judge right now in this lineup. Giancarlo Stanton hits for power. He's hitting below 200 this season, and he's not really the Kyle Schwarber type guy where you actually can be okay with him hitting really in the low twos. Like, he's supposed to be a mid 200s hitter, that type of guy. So I really do think that the Blue Jays are certainly the favorites over the Yankees in both series. Tampa's tough. Like, there's no way around that. You know, even I agree that they're not as good as they were at the beginning of the year. They're still really tough, and playing at the Trop is really tough.
And the games for them mean something.
Certainly, which is not good for the Blue Jays. Yeah. I think they would have hoped that the American League East could have been decided one way or another at this point in the year, and that the games wouldn't have mattered as much for the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, on the other side of this, though, you're asking the Blue Jays to be better than one of Texas or Seattle. They're currently ahead of both Texas and Seattle now, and those two teams play each other seven more times. So you're not actually – I mean, would it be great if the Blue Jays go out and they win a large majority of those games? If they go 9-3, that would be really, really good for the Blue Jays. But they don't necessarily have to hit that mark depending on how the out-of-town scoreboard goes. Whether they deserve to be in there or not, the teams that deserve to be in there are the teams that win the most to be in the top six or the top three wild cards. Watched every Rangers game. They blow games all the time, you know. Seattle was good for 1 month this year. They've been mediocre other than that the whole season. So, and you bringing up the parity, the Atlanta Braves won the World Series in 2021. They won 88 games in the regular season, the least of any team that made the playoffs, and probably less than the Blue Jays will end up winning this year. And it was just last year that the Philadelphia Phillies made the World Series. They won 87 baseball games during the regular season. Both Atlanta and Philadelphia did not play well for the majority of those seasons. They played well for spurts of those seasons, and they ended up winning. The team that deserves to be in the playoffs is the team with enough wins. The team that deserves to make the World Series is the team that does it. We just don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs until it happens. The 2016 Blue Jays won 89 games. They went to the American League Championship Series. You just don't know until you get there. And I would not, you know, we cover the team. It's different than, you know, when I was a kid growing up in this city and I was a fan of the team. I would never root for the team when I was a fan to crash and burn. Do you know how rare it is to be good in baseball? It's not basketball. 10 teams don't make some sort of play-in or postseason out of each conference. You got to take every opportunity you can to make the postseason and hope you do something with it.
I have never, ever believed in the deserve or not deserve to win. You deserve to get in if you win enough games to get in.
That's how we dictate who deserves it.
It means to deserve to win. If you don't win enough games and you miss by half game, you didn't deserve to make it. And that happened to the Blue Jays in 2021, right? If you win enough games to get in, you did deserve to make it. I often say there are not very many things that are black and white. I think for me that is pretty as black and white as it gets, because it's a numbers game. It's not about whether or not you played well enough to. And if you played poorly, you won't get in. And if you played well, even if it's not to the certain standards that we or others might expect, then they will get in. I don't know. It's just that those are the kinds of things that kind of drive me a little nuts. Let's go to the back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll go back to the text line in a sec. Ian in Brockville joining us here on Jays Talk. Ian, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Great win for the Jays. The three-game sweep after that Texas series, but I'm glad we're moving forward. I do, though, think for today's game, I was kind of wondering why Ryu was pulled so quick. I thought he was pitching pretty good, and, you know, I know analytics gets involved and stuff like that, but now I'm starting to wonder, too. You don't talk about much. No one has. Is the Jays thinking about their rotation come playoff time? Because last year, I remember we talked about it well before the playoffs, who were going to be the three pitchers in the playoffs. We don't talk about it much, so I'm wondering if there's going to be a little bit of maintenance going forward towards the end of the season. Do they have their pitchers who they think is going to be pitching in that playoff series? And are you going to see a little bit of maybe we don't see them going seven innings like Bassett and Gausman can do, just knowing what's going to be coming up coming the playoffs? Start preparing.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for joining us. I do remember the conversation about Stripling and like what is Stripling, has he pitched well enough to be a playoff starter and so on. Dominated the discussion towards the end of the year last year. So I do understand Ian's point. I think we have had like roughly that conversation, maybe not to the same extent.
They were also way more solidly making the playoffs last year with a couple weeks to go than what they're doing.
And I think that does kind of factor into Ian's question, right? Like if the Jays if the Jays, let's just say, this is definitely possible. I don't know how likely this is, but it's definitely possible that, let's say, before the Rays even come to town for that final game of the final series of the regular season, they could have clinched a spot.
It's theoretically possible.
It is possible. I don't know how likely that is, because it certainly feels like we're going to be on the roller coaster all season long, right? But either way, let's just say that is what happens. Then maybe we do see, maybe Bowden Francis gets called back up after he's worked a lot recently, which is why he was sent down. But let's say he gets called back up and he relieves Kevin Gausman instead of who I think is right now, if all things go well, is lined up to pitch the final day of the regular season, right? So, like, and if there's a game 163 that is somehow needed between, let's say, the Jays and, I don't know, the Astros, for example, or another team, then perhaps Gausman gets bumped. You know what I mean? Like, there probably will be some things in that sense, but Hyunjin Ryu getting pulled early, quote-unquote early, the final line for Ryu was 4 2/3 innings pitched, 6 hits, no runs allowed, two strikeouts, 2 walks, 83 pitches thrown. I really do think a lot of it just had to do, Ben, with and a lot of the relievers did too, but he specifically really walked that tightrope today. My goodness. Like, runners in scoring position in the second, third, and fourth, he pitched, generally speaking, I would say, well, maybe not great, but he's pitched well. He managed to tiptoe around some situations that could have been very disastrous. He got some great defense behind him, certainly, as well. You can't forget that. But I think it's just, it's probably at that point seen enough, because they didn't want to necessarily risk it. Even if it was just one out, they certainly feel comfortable going to the bullpen pretty liberally.
Yeah, I mean, I don't totally disagree, but semi-disagree with the caller that I thought that he pitched all that well. Like, he pitched okay. He, you know, he really, really, though, threaded the needle. And he also had run his pitch count up to 83 pitches. And I don't think this is an analytics thing. It was mentioned that, like, analytics might have had him yanked. I think it's a 36-year-old off Tommy John thing. They haven't pushed him to 90 pitches at all this year. Like, I think they want to make sure he stays healthy, because they don't, like, it's been widely reported that Alek Manoah is not their six. He has not been throwing. And so the drop-off is huge right now between Hyunjin Ryu and who would be the starter if Hyunjin Ryu ended up being injured in any way. So I really think it mixes a couple things in. I think he wasn't all that great today. You know, he did get out of a lot of those situations. You know, Reese McGuire happens to hit a rocket right at short with first and third. Like, some of that's luck. You know, some of it, you know, he got him to hit like a one hopper. I wouldn't call that totally a ground ball. It was kind of a liner that skipped right before Bichette, but you know, it was a little too close for comfort, especially with this team not being able to score very many runs in this series and not looking great offensively before they had pulled Ryu out of that game. I don't think they could chance it. And granted, like, Jimmy Garcia came in, got that out, and ended up pitching pretty well. There was no shot in my mind that Hyunjin Ryu was going to pitch into the sixth inning of this game. That would blow away what his previous pitch highs had been. I think they need to keep him healthy. I think they needed to keep this game close. And I think largely it worked out for them. I think of the pitching moves, that wasn't where I was concerned.
I agree.
I was more concerned with them leaving Yenesis Cabrera in what I thought was a little bit too long later in the game. They certainly had you know, a tired bullpen in the highest leverage of spots today, but for fifth, sixth, seventh inning guys, they had bodies available. Like, they didn't go to Trevor Richards today. They didn't go to a couple other different guys today that they could have used, like a Nate Pearson or something like that. So I didn't have a huge issue with them pulling Ryu. I think largely it worked out for them.
John Schneider just wrapping up his availability downstairs, and I wanted to get a little bit of the Schneider audio, Ben, because he did actually address pulling Hyunjin Ryu at 4 2/3. So let's hear a little bit of what the skipper had to say.
John, the decision for Ryu after 83 pitches, was that because of the traffic and the intensity of his performance?
A little bit, yeah. You know, you look at the lineup, and you know, it's 7 right-handed hitters, and you know, he was kind of dancing in and out of trouble, I think, the first few innings, and that's kind of what he can do. He can make pitches in big spots. But yeah, I think it was kind of a combination of, you know, where he was pitch count wise and then kind of what he had done the innings before.
So there you go. That's pretty much what you said.
Pitch
so,
count.
Yeah.
He allowed 8 base runners just between. Now, he got a little hard done by on a Chapman error, but he allowed 8 base runners between his hits and walks. And, I mean, second and third, nobody out. 2 innings in a row. First and third, 1 out. I don't think you want him going back through the meat of the order another time. We saw how dangerous in this series Rafael Devers is. He hit 2 big home runs in this series. So, yeah, they end up going to the pen. And, I mean, the pen wasn't phenomenal today, but they weren't that bad either. I think when you look at the effort as a whole, you get 4 1/3. You give up 2 runs, and you don't have your 2 highest leverage guys available. It's pretty solid. Like, kept them, you know, would it have been nicer if Eric Swanson just finished off Rafael Devers? For sure. But you had said this, I think it was yesterday or maybe 2 days ago. Like, Rafael Devers is one of the best hitters on the planet. Yeah. He's having a down season. He made, like, a public apology a couple days ago. I think he just hit his 34th homer this season. He's got, like, an 870 OPS, you know? Like, he is a really, really good hitter. That happens sometimes. And Matt Chapman picked up the pitching. I think, you know, very rarely this season has the offense picked up the pitching. And today, at least in a small way right at the end, they did, and the Blue Jays were better for it.
I see a couple of texts here on the text line about Hyunjin Ryu. I wanted to get to the one from Robert from earlier. I've been pleasantly surprised with how good Ryu has been this season, considering before his injury he struggled quite a bit. He seems to have used this time off to adjust to having even less velo than he did before. Has been very effective. He wanted to know about the pull of Ryu, but we just discussed that. There was another text earlier.
I will say, I don't think Ryu intentionally has less velocity.
No.
But he's adjusted well to that. He threw a 62-mile-per-hour curveball today. That is outrageous.
That thing tumbled in there, and it just – I forget who was the play. Maybe it was Adam Duvall, or maybe it was Reese McGuire. I forget who it was, but it just very slowly got in there, and it just looked like me swinging in an MLB The Show, just hacking away, because it looked like they just didn't know what to do at the plate because it was so slow. And he has been so effective with certainly the changeup, which we knew because that was his thing even when he was with the Dodgers. But, boy, the curve has been very, very, very good this season. It's been a lot of fun to watch. I see one from Steven in Williams Lake in BC. Ryu pitching another gem. Look at extending him. When can negotiations begin? What are the rules on that? I think it probably has to wait until the offseason.
I think you can actually work on an extension whenever you want. But at this point in the year, I think there's way too much. Like, the players don't want to negotiate right now down the stretch. You know, he's just thinking about his starts.
I also just wonder about Ryu coming back to the Blue Jays. I think he will pitch somewhere next year. I'm not convinced it is with the Blue Jays, but I know there's a question mark, a big fat question mark over Alec Manoah's head because we're not sure what's going to happen with him next year. Whether or not he will make his way back and what the relationship with the team is like and so on. But without relitigating that whole thing, I mean, on one hand, it's not a bad idea to have another guy ready, but at the same time, I'm not sure you want to pay Hyunjin Ryu a ton of money, as great as he has been.
Yeah,
knowing that you would then, in theory, could be stuck, not stuck with, but like you could end up having 6 pitchers, and most teams just don't have a 6-man rotation.
Yeah, and they do have a lot of money invested in the rotation. I think I feel better about them thinking about bringing him back, certainly, than I did before. Frankly, a lot of because we really don't know what's going on with the 5th starter next season. Like, they have 4 guys locked in between Gausman, Berríos, Bassett, and Kikuchi. All those guys make good money, though. Kikuchi at, like, I think they front-loaded the deal, so like $10 million next year will make the least, but you're getting like $17 to $20 million for each of the other 3 guys. So I don't think they're trying to spend big money. I don't think a pre-free agent extension is that likely.
Right.
I think they're more likely to see, you know, keep in contact with Ryu, see what offers he's getting on the market. This is something that happens a lot of the time.
Sure.
If Ryu was interested in returning to the Blue Jays, then they might say, hey, let us know what you're getting, and we'll think about whether we're going to match that or not. And if not, take the other offer and make more money.
That's pretty much what happened with Ross Stripling, essentially.
Yeah, and so I think it's not out of the realm of reality that they'd do something like that. But if he was garnering too much money, or really especially too many years, too, because he still is a 36-year-old guy coming off really major surgery, then maybe they go in another direction. I wouldn't be shocked if they're looking for insurance on that 5th starter spot next season, but I have no clue what a market is for Hyunjin Ryu. I think it's a fascinating free agent case, and you know, and Scott Boras is his agent, so it'll likely be more than we think it'll be.
Boy, I mean, I'll always say this about Hyunjin Ryu. I really do think it marked the signing of Hyunjin Ryu marked a new kind of era for the Blue Jays, because you just didn't see that very often for the Blue Jays. But certainly, I think a lot of people had questions as to how, at the time, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins would operate after coming from Cleveland to Toronto, and then they go out and shell out big bucks to Ryu in a season where I think Zach Wheeler was also a free agent that season, or maybe it was Aaron Nola. One of those two guys was a free agent at the same time as Ryu, and Ryu was the ERA leader. He was a very highly coveted free agent that year. We don't have to necessarily again relitigate that either. It's just kind of funny to think that's where that's kind of like the both bookending the discussion on Hyunjin Ryu's career. There's some text here as well. I see. Hi, show. There are no more game 163s anymore. That's true. I actually forgot about that.
Yeah,
that's
it's all tiebreaker.
The CBA kind of got rid of that when they renegotiated that, I guess, the beginning of last year, I suppose, which is not that long ago. But the good point on that one. I see here more text line questions as well. Hey, Show and Ben, I think it was Blair who said if the Jays season came down to beating Tampa, they might be in trouble. The Rays are now playing to win the East. That's from Tom and Ajax. Definitely.
Certainly.
It's not something you can ignore. But at the same time, the Rays are not the same Rays. We said this before at the beginning of the year. That doesn't mean they're going to be an easy team to play. And we know no one likes going down to the Trop. I hate watching the Blue Jays play in Tampa Bay, and we're going to see that next weekend. But, I mean, I don't know. It's just at the same time, the AL East is so tight. And I know that the difference between the Rays and Orioles is a pretty large one between the rest of the division. But at the same time, the Blue Jays have had a decent record against the Rays and the Yankees this year. I'm not saying I'm not worried, but I am saying I feel okay about the Blue Jays' chances, because they are still, offense scuffling or not, they are still a very talented team.
Yeah, there is definitely a pathway for them to win, where, you know, the Blue Jays beat the Rays once in a series this year, lost the Rays once in a series this year. And I don't think either of us are sitting here and being like, for sure they're going to beat the Rays. They've made the playoffs because they swept the Red Sox. They made their path significantly more difficult because they just got swept by the Texas Rangers this week. But I certainly think they have a chance to go in there. And if you can play well enough against the Yankees, who are, you know, again, they are the Yankees. You don't count them out. They're an above 500 baseball team. They are not terrible by any means. But if you can hold your own against the Rays and be a little bit more forceful against the Yankees, like win both series, maybe sweep the one in Toronto or something like that, then maybe you just have to go 3-3 against the Rays. Maybe you have to hold your own. And who knows, I will say, if they can play well against the Rays this week, because the Rays lost to Baltimore today, a little bit of a sneak preview now, two games back.
You're spoiling the bet.
Maybe, I know, I'm sorry. maybe you can knock the Rays out of the divisional race.
Sure.
So the next time you play them, they're not worried about that anymore. That's like the most optimism I will offer in my entire life. It's unlikely. But a lot of things can happen, so you never know.
4D chess out here
a week
before they head to Tampa Bay. You know what? Let's take the break and get into the Bet365 standings watch on the other side. Certainly go back to the phones, go back to the text line as well. Lots of text still on the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. Still more lots to come. You're listening to Jays Talk, Show and Ben with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, I mean, Chappie is such a pro and such an intense competitor, and he understands that he missed a lot of time. So some decisions are really tough. That was one of the really tough ones when you're taking Matt Chapman out. I think it was the first time he's ever been pinch hit for. So you try to do what's best to win the game that day. And, you know, I thought yesterday Cav gave us the best chance, and it ended up working out. But to Matty's credit, you know, what he said afterwards was, I need to play better and earn that and, you know, earn the right to be up there. And, you know, for him, a player of his caliber and his background to say that, you know, you felt good about him today, really, you know. So really couldn't be happier that he got that hit today.
That is John Schneider discussing Matt Chapman coming through for the Blue Jays as he walks off the Boston Red Sox in the bottom of the ninth inning. Blue Jays win 3-2 to wrap up the season series with the Red Sox with a sixth straight win over their AL East foes. You're listening to Blue Jays Talk, Show and Ben with you for another 20 minutes or so. Yeah, Matt Chapman. For Matt Chapman to say something like that in the clubhouse, I think does speak to you. A lot of people often have questions, Ben, about like who are the leaders in the clubhouse? Where does the leadership come from? And I know a lot during extended losing streaks. People say, oh, the Jays don't have any leadership. I think that does show, even if we don't always see or hear about it, that does show that there is a pretty extended run of leadership within some of the older guys in the clubhouse as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we, as the media, get access about an hour a day in the clubhouse, but it's very clear from that time that Matt Chapman is one of the leaders on this team. I mean, you know, he is not the most experienced guy on the team because they have guys like Brandon Belt, Kevin Kiermaier, George Springer, but he's not the youngest guy on the team as well. He plays an important position. And you know, he's a very serious guy, I think, in a lot of respects, and a really competitive guy as well. We saw that, you know, for better and for worse. Like, remember that Angels series when he, you know, got into it a little bit with John Schneider. But I think there's some positives, even if that was an interesting situation to take out from that as well. He is a huge deal to this team. You know, Bo Bichette's a leader of this team as well. George Springer, I think, certainly falls into that category, and there are other guys. You know, there's 26 guys on the team, so they're going to be multiple leaders in some different spots. But yeah, it is, and now 28 guys on the team with the expanded roster. But it is big for Matt Chapman, and you could see, I mean, everyone gets really excited for every walk-off, and certainly a lot of the same stuff could be said for Whit Merrifield yesterday, but they shot out of the dugout for Matt Chapman today, and just mobbed him. It was a huge, I will say, I also loved Kevin Kiermaier jumping up like a baby into the arms of Kevin Biggio.
That's pretty
Biggio
funny.
Scored, and Kiermaier jumped up and like wrapped his legs around him almost. But yeah, they were all over Chapman. Everyone knows how much he needed that. So it is huge.
Biggio, so he just threw his arms down into the side, and then Kiermaier left his feet.
Yeah, it took that as an invitation to jump onto him.
It was pretty fun to see. I love that kind of stuff. Similarly to yesterday's game when Varsho hit the ball over the head of Rafaela, and he gets the third, and you just see he's like just like he is screaming at the dugout, like helmet off, screaming at the top of his lungs. And so these guys clearly care.
Yeah.
They care so much. People often sometimes say, oh, they don't look like they care. It looks listless, lifeless, whatever. I just think
that's because they're losing.
Because they're they care. These guys are hyper-competitive, almost to the point of being maniacally competitive high-performance athletes. Like, I would say all high-performance athletes, almost all of them, are like this. And I think a lot of the Blue Jays are, if not every single person that dug out, which is great to see. Let's check in on the Major League Standings Watch, Ben, before we continue. Presented by Bet365. Download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19+. Play responsibly. Ontario only. So a couple of games going on right now that certainly will affect what happens in the wild card race. Maybe just the one, actually, because this is the only one going on that I mentioned a couple times during the game. But Dodgers are currently leading the Mariners the bottom of the fourth inning 5-1 right now. Jason Hayward with a home run. Austin Barnes with a home run. Jason Hayward's knocking in a two-run single as well. So Jason Hayward doing a
big
yeoman's work.
Very unconventional offensive day. There was an Ahmed Rosario triple. Colton Wong with an RBI single against his old team. Just a weird day, but hey, they're the Dodgers.
Yeah, you'll take it. The Dodgers, and they just clinched the NL West yesterday with the win over the Mariners, and they're not done. They want more. So Dodgers leading the Mariners 5-1. Like we mentioned before, the Guardians did smoke the Rangers. They sweep them with a 9-2 win today. The Astros did pick up a win. They won 7-1 over the Royals. And these two matter a little bit less for the wild card, but I'll read them anyways. The Yankees lose to the Pirates 3-2. And the Orioles, it took 11 innings, but they did beat the Rays 5-4. And both teams have clinched playoff spots. I actually think the Orioles clinched a spot before the game was over because the Rangers had lost. I think it was something like that.
So I think it might have actually been the Yankees. I don't remember.
Either way,
both
the teams clinching. And right now, with the clinch and certainly with the win as well, the Orioles are 93-56. The Astros, with their win, 84-66. So those two teams are in division leads right now. The Rays at the top of the wild card spot race with a playoff spot clinched, 92-59. The Blue Jays in the second wild card spot right now, 83-67. They are a half game up on the Rangers, who are 82-67. Who themselves are a half game up on the Mariners, who sit in the, I guess, what would be the fourth spot. Out of a playoff spot right now, they are 81-67, and if they lose, they will be a full game back of the Rangers.
Yeah, and not to go too back on it, because I think we talked about it enough, but with, you know, like, are the Jays playing well enough? You know, the Jays are playing all right. They swept a team. They got swept. They swept another team. But if you look at the standings, is anyone competing with them also playing well enough? And right. and this is frankly what it's about. It's not about outrunning the Bear. It's about outrunning the Texas Rangers or the Seattle Mariners, because the Bear's going to get them first if you're quicker than they are. And at the end of the day, the Seattle Mariners are more than likely about to get swept. And, you know, go look at that Dodgers lineup. They're resting guys because they won the division. There is no Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman in that lineup. They're, you know, Jason Hayward's sitting second, and he's having a huge day. But, like,
this is not even the B team. This is, like, the C team. For the
I mean, they are just putting everyone out there who they picked up off waivers and traded for minor leaguers and stuff like that. And the Texas Rangers just got swept by the Cleveland Guardians. And Houston saves, like, a tiny bit of face today after they end up dropping a series to the second worst team in all of baseball in the Kansas City Royals. Like, the Blue Jays swept the Royals, even if it didn't look pretty at all times. Houston nearly got swept by the Royals. So everyone around the Blue Jays is also, frankly, not playing that well. And is it the most inspiring way to make it into the playoffs if they get there? Maybe not, but at the end of the day, all that matters is you get in and you see what happens.
Yeah, look, if the Mariners make the playoffs, let's just say they do, then they deserve to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they did.
If the New York Yankees, who are not mathematically eliminated, win their, like, final 10 games, it doesn't matter that they've been mediocre all year. If you win enough games, you win enough games. It's for the Blue Jays, they have the benefit of especially the Seattle Mariners, who they'll likely jump a game and a half ahead of if this result firms up.
Right.
After Oakland playing Texas, Houston, Texas. So either they're not going to gain games, or they're going to hurt someone else that the Blue Jays are competing against.
Yeah.
And that aside, I think the Blue Jays are in a tough spot with their upcoming schedule, but I think the Seattle Mariners and the Texas Rangers, and to a certain extent the Houston Astros, who go to play Baltimore coming up, are also in difficult positions.
Yeah, we said the games mean something for the Rays. Yeah, the games mean something for the Orioles, too. They're going to want to pound the Astros as much as humanly possible because they want to distance themselves from Tampa Bay, who the Jays play certainly next weekend. But that does it for our Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365, something we'll be looking at very often over these next, I guess now, 12 games, which get going again on Tuesday when the Jays head to New York to take on the Yankees. I see some more texts here. Ben, a couple on Kevin Biggio, JJ in Toronto. Sometimes fans can be wrong. Hand up. I was a get-rid-of Biggio guy. Glad they didn't listen to me. Where would we be without Kevin? Keep grinding out those wins. And Daniel and Trinity Bellwoods, Kevin Biggio has been huge for the Jays these past couple of days. I feel better about having him at the plate than most of the rest of the team. He has been very good. He has played very, very well recently.
Yeah, I mean, his defense has been really good. Aside from his offense, like, he is making highlight reel defensive plays.
At every position.
Yeah, at a pretty high rate, which is really impressive. Like, they're, you know, Bobichette's so much improved this year. He had a great play today, Bobichette throwing home. And you see Bo go out and work for hours every day at short. But you have Kevin Biggio having to go take fly balls one day, and then one day he's taking ground balls at second and at third, and those are very different things because of the depth of each position and the throws at each position. And he still has to stay fresh at first because there's a chance if people go down and stuff like that, they need him to play first base. And playing left and right is a little bit different. It's not, you know, black and white, but it is a little bit different, and he has to prepare for both of those sides. So to do that and be a strong defender, and then you get to his offensive game, and for all the talk about approach for a lot of different guys on the Blue Jays this year, I mean, Kevin Biggio has always been a strong approach guy. He's just not going to expand. And this year, after kind of a year and a half of not doing it, he started doing damage again on pitches in the zone. Everyone knew coming into this year even that Kevin Biggio has a good eye. The issue was you could throw him a ton of strikes, and he wasn't going to do a whole lot with it. So why would you pitch out of the zone? But now he's added some of the home run power back. He's been a lot more consistent. And, yeah, is he going to hit 300? No, that's not the guy he is, but I think he provides so much value for the Blue Jays and allows them to do a lot with their lineup because of his versatility.
Biggio has a couple more arb years before he gets to UFA, I guess.
You easily keep
years.
Him through. Yeah, I mean, next year, unless something catastrophic happens at this point, the year after.
I know there had been some discussions like early in the year about like what do you do about Kevin Biggio, but I don't think that's, at least right now, I suppose there's some runway for things to change, but I really do feel like with only 12 games left, I don't know how much could possibly change in 12 games. So even if he did have an extended slump for 12 games, I think the decision has largely been made that he's probably going to be a Blue Jay next year, almost definitely, I would say, because, again, he has played very, very well. Like you say, not only the eye to play, not just swinging the bat, but the defensive plays. And we've seen him turn a couple of unassisted double plays recently, which, I mean, you don't see that very often ever, and he's been playing very, very well recently. I see some more text here on the text line. A couple on Chad Green, which I like. I see one from Robin Guelph. Show, at first I thought the Chad Green contract was nuts, 3 years, $27 million, but after seeing some of the top-paid relievers, $18 million a year, I would absolutely pick up those extensions, because it is, to Rob's point, it is a very, it's a complex,
convoluted.
It's like a team options and player options, and
I'm getting
you
it up
do these
right
things,
now,
yeah, it's all sorts
know.
Of crazy stuff, but Rob goes on to say he's the only reliever on the Jays I feel calm about. When he's on the mound, I don't always feel that way about Romano. Lock him up. And then there's another one on Chad Green from earlier. If I can find it, I will read it. But, okay, well, I can't find it. But
do you want me to go through the contract?
Yeah,
because I think some people
well.
Don't know. So Chad Green makes $2.25 million this year, but the Blue Jays extended him. And because of that, they can, if they want, at the end of the season, activate a team option, which would give them three more seasons of Green, 24, 25, 26,
right.
at $27 million over those 3 years. I'm not sure if it's exactly $9 million each year, but the average annual
sure.
value being $9 million, and an opportunity for a million bonus based on games pitched. And then if they don't do that, then Green has a player option where he can opt in to make $6.25 million next season with up to $2 million in bonuses based on games pitched. So at least $6.25 million could make up to about a little bit over $8 million if he pitches a certain number of games for the Blue Jays. And if Green declines that, then the Blue Jays have another team option that they can go after,
really
which would be a little over $10 million a year, but just for two seasons rather than the three seasons. So it would just be for 24 and 25. So there is a lot going on there.
You need a lawyer to decipher all that.
Yeah, but I do think certainly the Blue Jays are going to be interested in retaining Chad Green.
Yes.
You don't know what the future of Jordan Hicks and the Blue Jays is going to be. He's a free agent. They traded for him as a rental. I think a lot of people would be pretty interested in having 101 in the bullpen going forward. But Chad Green is a guy where if you don't have Jordan Hicks, he can slide in and set up for you, because we're still seeing Chad Green shaking off rust and getting back healthy. Once you get him regular tune-up to the year, regular offseason, regular spring training, I think it could be even more dangerous, and that's really interesting.
Yeah, Zach from Fredericton bringing up the point I wanted to get to as well. This was the text I was looking for. Pitching masterclass this series. Shout out to Chad Green. Great outing and threw his hardest fastball since 2021. Just get into the playoffs. This pitching will play well. Zach, you know I agree with you. And yeah, that Chad Green threw velo-wise one of his hardest pitches in the last several years, I think is incredibly impressive given that he's coming off of a very serious injury. And you never really know with control and velo. Like, I think like with the medical advancements that exist today, pretty good bet that you will come back good or being still in the same health situation, let's call it, that you were prior to the injury. But it's not always the case, obviously, because you never really know. But it was nice to see Chad Green come out and dominate. And like you say, I mean, regardless of what happens with Jordan Hicks or not, whether he does come back or not, Chad Green, I think, is going to, or should be at the very least, an important part of this bullpen, because he has been very reliable. And I think beyond just throwing hard and locating well, he also just has the experience of being a reliever used in high-leverage situations, and you can never have enough of those guys.
Yeah, and you know, relievers a lot of the time are iffy from year to year sometimes, but I think Chad Green is someone who almost defies that. I mean, from 2017 to 2022, and he gets injured in 2022 pretty early on, but he's essentially solid or better than that his entire career.
Right.
Like, there has, you know, in 2019, his ERA a little inflated. They also were asking him to open games. It was kind of an unconventional season for him overall. But when he's been an established full-time reliever, he's been pretty good, if not very good, the entire time. He's someone with nearly 300 games of major league experience under his belt and an ERA that's closer to 3 than it is to 4 by a pretty good margin. So, yeah, I think you have to be absolutely happy with what you're starting to see from Chad Green, and I would be in full support of the Blue Jays looking to lock him up. You know, if they were more interested in the 2-year option than the 3-year option, that's pretty minute details that I'm not 100% sure how I feel about it. But overall, I think they would be interested in Chad Green on this baseball team.
Yeah, Chad Green has been getting better, I would say, every outing we have seen him in, dating back to his return, which was, I think, against the Rockies in Colorado, which, I don't know, it's not exactly the best place to pitch anyways. But
yeah, it's a tough place to come back from, Tommy John.
And don't get me wrong, he struggled in that. He struggled in that game.
It was
brutal. It was bad. Yeah. But since then, that was the literal first appearance for Chad Green off the TJ surgery. So I very much like what I've seen, and I think you feel comfortable about having Chad Green deployed in high-leverage situations between now and the end of the regular season, and certainly you hope in the playoffs as well. I see some more text here on the text line. Justin in Toronto, the Blue Jays are like Billy Madison, and I'm Steve Buscemi. I'm ready to cross them off. They call me and apologize and suck me back in. We're back, baby. Dustin in Toronto. You know I'm here for a good Billy Madison reference. How can you not be? I see here Colette in Brampton. Bullpen has been phenomenal lately, as we've discussed. Texas gets swept. Go figure. I think that's like just the go figure part of Colette's text. That's just a part of how the chaos of watching baseball. Like, yeah, we were talking about it on the pregame show earlier before the game on the local pregame. But boy, I mean, it's just sometimes, like, we joke like that's baseball, Susan. Sometimes you joke about that sometimes, but it's true that really anything can happen. Anyone who said that after the Rangers swept the Blue Jays in 4 games would then get swept by the Guardians while the Mariners and Astros lose the first 2 games of their respective series as well. The Mariners could also get swept today. Like, I'm not sure anyone really had that on their bingo card. And I'm not blaming anyone who didn't, because the sheer chaos that is this sport means that there's going to be a lot of losing. And, you know, you gotta weather those storms no matter who you are, but the Blue Jays have done it pretty well. Yes, it's the Red Sox. Yes, they're not going to make the playoffs, the Red Sox, but you still beat a very bitter division rival, and you swept them to boot.
Yeah, it's got to be, like, by far the most random sport. The Blue Jays swept the Atlanta Braves this year. Like, it's a long time ago, and people don't remember it at this point, but they swept out and out the best team in baseball, by far. They've also lost series to the Cleveland Guardians this year, you know, and really struggled to pick up a series win, although they did, against teams like the Colorado Rockies this year. But it's such a random sport. The Oakland Athletics won 8 games in a row at one point this year. They are one of the worst baseball teams I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, they are truly despicably intentionally bad.
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just baseball. You never know what's going to happen. The Blue Jays, maybe they just don't match up with the Rangers all that well, and they happen to match up now, unlike earlier in the season with the Red Sox. Well, we'll see what they can do against the Rays.
Blue Jays get the day off tomorrow, and they'll do it all again on the road, the final road trip of the season, beginning on Tuesday in New York. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising, and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection. For a special summer offer on rust protection, visit crown.com today. For Ben Shulman, Ben Wagner, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Tom Young, Luke Swadron, Nick Blackmore, I'm Show Ali. Thanks for being with us today. That's actually the last Ben and Show Jays Talk of the Year, Ben. I wanted to do this while we had a couple minutes left here. I have a few solo next weekend. Julia might be along as well, but barring a last-minute change, that's it for us this season, and Blair and Barker will have the last weekend of the regular season.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been a great time through the ups and the downs, through the big wins and the losses to the Oakland Athletics. It's been a fun time. So I appreciate you helping me out in this first year on Jays Talk with you, and hope to do more soon.
I do too. I'm glad we got to do it. I learned a lot about Syracuse this year.
Oh yeah, and that's something that everyone intentionally learns about, because it's very useful knowledge.
That's Ben Shulman. I'm Show Ali. It's been a lot of fun doing these seasons with him. Blair and Barker have you covered all week long. I'm back next weekend. I'll talk to you later.